Money FM 89.3, best of the afternoon update.
You're listening to the afternoon update with me, Rachel Kelly. This is What's Trending. Now, the Monetary Authority of Singapore recently announced an off-cycle move to fight inflation. The announcement came on the back of decades-high inflation news out of the US and back home. It seems that Singaporeans' expectations for headline inflation seems to have fallen. According to news out today, this quarter's Singapore Index of Inflation Expectations is down to 3.9% from 4.1%. And some analysts say this could be due to behavioral biases such as anchoring bias based on multiple global factors and ground realities. But the question is, with prices at the pump, the till and rents continuing to rise, what do consumers need to know about inflation and the implications of wider geopolitical events on our purse strings? To help us understand, we're joined now by Vasu Menon, Executive Director, Investment Strategy, Wealth Management Singapore at OCBC Bank. Vasu, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, Rachel. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you with us to help us understand the headlines that we've been seeing that have been trending over the last few weeks when it comes to inflation, especially on the back of that news we saw from the MAS, the move last week. We've also been reading headlines about, you know, decade-high inflation in Singapore, multi-decade-high inflation in the US. Today we saw news that New Zealand's consumer prices rose at their fastest pace in three decades. What does all of this mean for consumers, Vasu?
Well, you know, Rachel, number one, you just highlighted a whole bunch of countries. So essentially, inflation is not just a Singapore phenomenon. Mm-hmm. It's a global phenomenon. It's taking place because of pent-up demand as COVID recedes to the background. Demand is picking up. That is fueling inflation partly. But more so, inflation is being driven by supply-side factors. So, you know, you have got supply constraints due to, disruptions because of COVID. You've got issues coming out of Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Food prices are going up. Oil prices are going up, commodity prices in general are going up. And I think all that is fueling cost push inflation as well, aside from what we call demand pull inflation due to pent-up demand. So a combination of greater demand, tighter supply, pushing up prices. And I guess higher prices means higher cost of living. It erodes your savings. It erodes your purchasing power. In the long term, you know, if this continues, it could hurt the economy as well.
And we'll get to that in just a minute. But, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we've seen measures introduced to tackle inflation, such as the move by the Monetary Authority of Singapore last week. But how much longer can we expect this inflationary environment to continue or to last?
Well, hopefully not for too long. But right now, there's still no light at the end of the tunnel. To be honest, I mean, you've seen inflation, markets are hopeful that inflation will start coming off. The inflation numbers peak in June, for example, in the US, 9.1%. But, you know, I think since that number, commodity prices have come off by about 15-16% in general. And the markets are hopeful that, you know, perhaps the lower commodity prices also translate to lower headline inflation in the coming months.
Okay.
So, you know, but I think if anybody's hoping for a big fall in inflation, that may be hoping for too much. I think inflation may recede, it may stabilize, but I doubt it'll go back to pre-COVID days when inflation is fairly low.
So what does this mean then longer term, Vasu? You mentioned the impact on the economy. Is a recession on the horizon?
Well, our base case is, you know, at the moment there is no recession. Growth is clearly slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
Economic growth in Singapore was 4.4% in the first half of this year. We see that slowing down to perhaps about 3.4% in the second half of this year, and then slowing further in 2023 to either 3% or just, you know, slightly below 3%. So we don't see a recession at this juncture. We think that, you know, what the central banks around the world plus the MAS is doing is good. It's preemptive. It's trying to tackle inflation. It's trying to rein in the problem, and that will help the economy. And of course, you know, as I said, there's a lot of pent-up demand, and the labor market is tight. And so, you know, essentially put all that together, you might not see a recession in Singapore at least, but you will definitely see slower growth, partly because of higher inflation.
Okay, so there is a bit of a silver lining then.
Indeed, you know, I think there's a bit of a silver lining. We may not see a recession, not at least in Singapore. You know, don't forget the Monetary Authority of Singapore has undertaken two off-cycle moves. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been very preemptive. They've been very early in tackling this problem. And Singapore has got a very strong reserve position, strong fiscal balances. The government is in a very good position to basically, you know, help stimulate the economy if the economy runs into any serious trouble, you know. So I think that provides comfort to some extent that the economy will not go into any kind of major tailspin.
Do you think we could expect more moves from the Monetary Authority of Singapore? As you mentioned, we've already seen two off-cycle moves.
I wouldn't put it past the MAS to do that. You know, they've done two, and if inflation continues to persist, and that's what most people are saying, that's what most analysts think, it could persist for a few more months, then, you know, it's possible that, you know, the MAS, just like many other central banks, could be a bit more aggressive than they usually would.
We're speaking with Vasu Menon, Executive Director, Investment Strategy, Wealth Management, Singapore at OCBC Bank. Vasu, perhaps another silver lining. Does it mean, as we continue to see this inflationary environment, interest rates also higher, possible upside in theory, salaries should also increase in line with inflation? Am I asking too much here?
I hope so. Mm-hmm. You know, some employers may say, look, I mean, inflation is going up. They recognize the fact that, you know, if they don't increase salaries, some other employers will increase salaries to attract away workers. And, you know, that expectation could result in higher salaries. But don't forget, Rachel, we also talked about inflation basically causing the economy to slow down. Because, you know, mm-hmm. as inflation kicks in, cost goes up. Companies feel the high cost pressure. Mm. You know, interest rates go up. Consumers feel the heat as well. It may affect spending to some extent. It may affect borrowing costs of companies as well. Put all of that together, it means the economy is effectively going to slow down. And when the economy slows down, it may also give companies less leeway to be too aggressive in increasing wages. Because, you know, cost as it is going up. Demand may cool because of, you know, higher inflation. So companies may not be able to offer as large an increase to offset inflationary pressures.
Okay, so we could see a bit of a widening gap there.
That's right, precisely. You know, you could see that happening. You know, yeah, but it remains to be seen. I mean, whether the economy will slow down as sharply, but if it doesn't, you know, hopefully some companies would, you know, take it upon themselves to increase wages to help their employees and, you know, the economy as well keep pace with inflation.
Vasu, we've spoken about prices at the till, prices at the pump and salaries, but I want to also ask you about housing prices, property prices. Let's start with rentals, because we've seen condominium, so public and private HDB rental prices, they've continued their upward trajectory. In June, they climbed by 2.1%, 2.3% from the previous month. This is the 18th consecutive month of rental growth for both condos and HDB rents. Can we expect this to continue?
I wouldn't be surprised if it does. You know, the greater trend towards working from home, mm-hmm. The higher property prices have all contributed to higher rentals as well. Mm. The supply of housing in the market, the supply of new properties in the market is also, inventory levels are fairly low. And that's one factor that's contributing to the higher prices. So as prices go up, you know, it also justifies higher rental. And all, as I said, you know, working from home and, you know, more people are looking for slightly bigger houses to live in, to rent in, so that, you know, they've got more space at home to work from home. So put all that together, it's still possible that rentals may hit higher. I wouldn't be surprised. But they've already gone up quite a bit. So the pace of increase may not be as strong as what we've seen in the last perhaps 12, 18 months.
Okay. And Vasu, let's talk now about owning property, because inflation and interest rates usually move hand in hand, and we've seen interest rates creep up. What about mortgage rates? I mean, on the back of that, how long can we expect those to continue to rise? Is it just a case of, as you mentioned, waiting for things to stabilize, or is this going to be is this something that's going to continue?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if it continues. I mean, mortgage rates have already increased quite significantly mm-hmm. in the last 6 to 9 months. And the reason why mortgage rates are going up is because global interest rates are going up as well. Mm-hmm. So, for example, the Fed fund rate is now 1.75%. The Fed fund rate, by the way, is the U.S. Central Bank's benchmark interest rate. It's now 1.75%. And we are looking at the benchmark rate going up from 1.75% to 4% in the next 12 months. Similarly, the U.S. 10-year bond yield is now, you know, just below 3%, and we see it going up to 3.94% in the next 12 months. So as global interest rates, U.S. interest rates hit higher, it is also possible that, you know, rates in Singapore, we are largely a price taker, rates here will go up as well. And that includes mortgage rates heading higher too.
Okay, Vasu, what else are you going to be looking out for in the next few months as we navigate this inflationary environment?
Well, I think one of the key things I would look out for would be commodity prices, whether commodity prices will continue to ease. If they continue to ease, that will provide a breather, you know, for a lot of consumers, a lot of companies. It means, you know, it's a good sign that inflation could actually come down. Okay. I think that's a key thing, you know, that we're looking out for. And also supply, tight supply situation, supply disruptions, whether that's easing, ports are getting less congested, supply is moving, supply chains are, you know, are moving along more smoothly. I think all those factors will contribute to eventually prices easing, coming down as well.
Okay, Vasu. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
My pleasure, Rachel. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Vasu Menon, Executive Director, Investment Strategy, Wealth Management, Singapore at OCBC Bank. You're listening to Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.